flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Please, the Daily Mix Show is on deck. Guitars plugged in. Drums ready to go. Chickens.
They're a-clucking.
Other animals. And action.
This is the Daily Mix Show on The Rock with Taryn Daly and Steve Miggs.
While listening to the Daily Mix Show, please refrain from any unnecessary finger gesturing.
99.9 KISW.
Good morning, Rockaholics, and happy Blue Friday, one and all. Also, even though she's not here, happy birthday to Sarah.
Happy birthday, Sarah.
I guess it is kind of a Blue Friday for her because she's not here to celebrate herself with us.
It's a good Friday for the rest of us.
And Danny was very kind to basically share his and hers birthday yesterday.
I mean, I didn't really have a choice.
I was going to say, I don't think he had a choice in it. Yeah. And my favorite part is that, like, so we received a couple of text messages this morning already from her, because she went to Vegas for her birthday to go see a hip-hop artist by the name of Tyga. I don't know. But my apologies to George. He had to go with her. And she's still awake from yesterday.
How? It's because she's, you know, so young, right?
Because she's in Vegas.
It's because she's in Vegas.
Because there's just no concept of time in Vegas. I've had those instances happen where, like, you're just out partying, having a great time in Vegas, and then obviously, like, well, we should go outside and go to, like, wherever we're going next, and we go outside. I'm like, why is it daylight? Because there's, like, no concept of time, and they do a good job of not letting you know what time it is there.
And if you say that, this is also just Sarah. Like, I
get that on
like,
top of it.
She wants to maximize her time. Do you ever hear all the crazy, like, Vegas rumors? Like, oh, yeah, one of the reasons that you can stay up is because they pump so much fresh oxygen in.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, is that even true?
I have no idea. I've never bothered to Google it. I've just assumed that it is true.
Mm. All right. Well, I love that fresh oxygen in Vegas.
Although it is, there's nothing. I remember one time going for a buddy's bachelor party. We went to like the gentlemen's clubs. And then my buddies and I are all just like, yeah, we should go back to the hotel. And we walk, because we got to get on a plane tomorrow. And then we walk outside the club and we're like, tomorrow is today. It's 8 a.m., you guys. We have enough time to get back to the hotel, pack, and then go home.
You did good work.
Oh, that was a great night. Yeah.
Now let's inform the Rockaholics.
Knowledge is power. So give us five-ish minutes, and we'll give you some interesting stuff you can talk about at work. This is the Daily Migs Download,
a.k.a. the DMD.
Here's your daily dose of doings happening in the world.
And the DMD is brought to you by Palace Lawn. Today, this is a ridiculous question. I don't even know if you guys have an answer for this. And for some strange reason, I do. Today is National Microwave Oven Day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the first thing that you ever microwaved? I know. It's a very, very odd question to ask.
No, but I remember a microwave incident from my youth.
Do tell.
So we had a jar of peanut butter, and it was like a little, like it wasn't really super creamy, and it was a little hard. So I was like, I'll just put it in the microwave for a couple minutes and warm it up. Well, I didn't realize that it had like a little bit of foil still around the outside.
Oh, no.
So the whole thing starts like popping and flaming, and I'm like, what's going on? That was the day that I learned that you can't have foil in the microwave. I was young. I don't remember how young, but I was young, and my parents were not happy.
See, I think we come, maybe not you so much, definitely me. We come from a time where we were learning as we went along with the microwave, because like there was a lot of things where I'm like, oh, I didn't know I could do that.
Do you remember the first thing you microwaved?
I do. And it's so dumb, but it was French fries.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason being, I don't remember the brand name. And I don't know if anyone remembers these. They were microwavable French fries. And they, in order to ensure that they were crispy, because think about it, microwaving French fries just sounds soggy and nasty. They were in this, like, box that had, you know how like they have those things that can make things crispy in the microwave? Like that, like, almost like that gray.
Yeah.
Was it a bag?
No, it was cardboard.
Oh.
But it was individual little holes for each French fry. And you had to put them all in there, make sure they were all in there, put it in the microwave for a couple minutes, and they come out, and they were crispy and delicious.
Oh, my
God. I don't think these things exist anymore, but they were the best freaking French fries.
That's a shame if they are extinct.
And I feel like, I don't know, is it healthier than deep frying them?
Probably.
Hell if I know. But let's talk about the Seattle Kraken. Another big win for them. They ended up winning 5-2. Thank you, Vince Dunn. Had a goal and a couple of assists. Joey Decord played a great game as well. Shane Wright had a goal, too. It was a really good performance against a really bad team in the New York Islanders. But you know what? Some people look at the Seattle Kraken as a really bad team, but that's two in a row. Two wins. Up next, they stay in New York. They're taking on the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden.
Let's go,
Kraken. And that's tomorrow. Yep.
And let's go, Seahawks. Our Hawks had activated Uchenna Nwosu from injured reserve after a 7-game absence due to a torn left thigh. On top of that, he ended up being named the Seahawks pick for the Walter Payton Man of the Year nomination for his community service that he does and a lot of the amazing on-field contributions that we get from him.
But my question is about that. And I think that's awesome because I've heard this a lot for like his old school and his community. And the guy sounds like an awesome dude. But what has he contributed on the field? He's been injured.
Poor guy. Well, maybe they're planning for the future, too.
Okay, fair.
So on top of that, there are some other roster moves that happened. Seattle Seahawks claimed wide receiver and returner Jalen Darden. They released cornerback D. Williams, and that was obviously because of some of those beautiful fumbles.
They got rid of both of the guys after that. That's epic.
Yeah.
Like, zero tolerance. I get it. You got one job.
Yeah.
Catch the freaking ball. And you didn't do it multiple times. I've heard this guy, I think it was the Browns that released him. He has never dropped the ball.
Well, that's great news for us.
You know what? I don't care how else he does in the game of football if he doesn't drop any balls.
Just do your job.
Did you watch the Thursday Night Football last night?
Yes, because Barrett is now a huge Lions fan, apparently.
Well, I think most Americans.
Why is he a huge Lions fan?
When we got home from martial arts, he noticed immediately that the Lions were playing and was like sucked in. I'm like, what? After watching them on Thanksgiving, he's a new Lions fan.
Barrett's a big Dan Campbell guy.
He totally is.
And he loves Jamal Adams. Jamal Adams is now on the Detroit Lions. They picked him up. They put him on the practice squad. And within like a couple of days, they activated him. And he played yesterday. And I don't know how he did. I didn't get to catch the game. But I saw some people on social media saying he looked pretty inspired because, I mean, it's been a minute since he's been able to be out there on the field. Didn't get injured, I don't think, so that's a good sign.
I thought you were going to say promising. He did pretty mediocre.
I have no idea, but you know what? The Detroit Lions have clinched a playoff spot, and they are now 12-1.
Crazy.
So Barrett picked a good team to be a fan of.
Oh, yeah. He was all about it last night.
Of course, the Seahawks played this weekend. They're going to be playing on Sunday, taking on the Arizona Cardinals in Arizona. So hopefully our defense continues to step up. And speaking of our defense, defensive end Mike Morris from the Seattle Seahawks will be joining us this morning at 7:20. So if you're a Seahawks fan, you don't want to miss that. Weather, hitting a high of 46 degrees. Going to be cloudy today. That is the DMD, and that's what's up.
Migs, I'm curious if there is a teacher from your past that will forever live in infamy for you.
Infamy. So that's always a not-so-positive experience.
Yeah.
High school, is it Mr. Muir or Father? I can't remember if it was a Mr. or a Father. I think it was a Father, Mr. Murak, Father Murak. This guy, he was our history teacher. He was the baseball coach. He was out of his freaking mind. Like, we had to take the city bus to be able to get home. And so instead of like keeping order, he would physically throw you in the bus if you weren't paying attention. And we're high schoolers. Mind you, day one. History class. I shared a story before, but I don't think I've shared it with you. He went around the class to ask us some basic history questions to see what he was working with. And what he did was, you know, on the shades on your in the windows, they had like that wood, like old thing to keep the weight down on the shades. He pulled that out, snapped it in half. And he'd go around, if you got the question wrong, he hit you in the back of the head with it. Like,
what?
Not to the point where you'd bleed, but it would still sting. And it was like, from that moment on, we knew not to mess with Mr. Murak.
Can we start doing that during Beat Migs? Just whack you in the head when you get one wrong?
I'd be concussed every morning.
For some students, the teacher that will forever live in infamy was just arrested for being naked at the school.
Nice.
Well, at least Mr. Murak didn't do that.
He also had weed.
He didn't do that either.
But that's not all. You're going to hear what else he had at 6:20.
The Daily Migs Show.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A teacher in the great state of Florida was arrested after he was found naked in an elementary school. And with him, he had weed, a laptop, and sex toys.
Whoa.
This is some audio of the local police talking about Joe getting arrested.
Joe.
They all saw a deputy, quickly got dressed, and exited the school. Deputy tried to apprehend him. And at that point, the now clothed, formerly nude male committed battery on that deputy.
Oh, geez.
There was nobody inside the school at the time. You know, as to the vulgarity, I think I just don't even want to get into his mind and think about what he was thinking.
So did he... I have two questions.
I have a lot of questions.
I probably have more than two, but I'm going to start with these two. Did he attack the other officer while he was naked?
I think it sounded like that happened after.
Okay.
So maybe he was clothed?
Yeah. Okay.
But that would be funnier if he was naked.
Funnier, that would be the last day of my run as being a police officer. I'm like, I can't do this anymore, guys. I just got attacked by a naked man who had sex toys. Question number two. Was that the school that he works at?
Oh, that's another good question.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just assuming so.
I'm assuming so as well, but I don't know why. Like, I just was like, did he just show up to another school? He's just like, you know, it'd be fun.
I just find it so weird that, you know, you want to have some, smoke some weed and have some alone time or whatever. I know, I'll go hit up the school for that. Like,
well, in all fairness, his girlfriend or wife was at home. Doesn't let him have any alone time.
He needed a private space.
He had nowhere else to go. The library wasn't open. I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty gnarly.
Do you have a teacher that will forever live in infamy for you? Because I'd imagine whoever... So if he's an elementary school teacher, imagine being the parents. I think like the kids probably don't even know what the hell's going on, especially if nobody saw it, thankfully. They said that the building was empty, so that's good. But the parents are going to find out and they'll be like, wow.
Yeah.
Professor Joe or Teacher Joe is, we're never going to see him again.
So in my hometown, there was a teacher that I had in like, I want to say maybe eighth grade, but he was also the science team like coach. And yes, I was a science team kid. I know that probably shocks you today to know that information, but years and years later, he ended up getting...
Is that where you learned how to make acid? I'm kidding. Sorry.
But he was arrested first degree murder of his wife.
Whoa.
Yeah, and it was wild because he tried to cover it up and make it look like she had fallen down the stairs. But then they like did the investigation and found out that he had like Googled how to make falling down the stairs look like an accident.
He did not.
Yes.
How are you so smart to be a teacher in the world of science?
Yes.
Science isn't easy, but you're not that I should be like, how dumb are you? But like, how dumb are you?
But he was people's favorite teacher. He was like a father figure to some people. I mean, people loved him.
Gosh.
It was a huge shock. And I believe that it was discovered that he had like an affair with a substitute teacher or something like that. There was a lot of information.
That's insane.
And he had scratches on his face. He said it was from a dog. And then, of course, they found his skin under her fingernails.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was bonkers. I think he got like 25 or something years in prison.
That sounds like a plot to like some like episode of 911 or one of those like, you know, like Forensic Files or something like that.
So wild.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Because when you said sciences, I was like, what is it about like the sciences that bring out like kind of like the odd
yeah.
characters? We had a biology teacher, I remember in high school. And at some point, I don't remember why, but it will forever be in my brain, this moment where he let us all know that he was a nudist. And him, his wife, and his children do not wear clothes when they're in their house. And I remember looking at, like, this is all boys Catholic high school. We're all looking at each other like, that's information I did not need to know.
Yeah, why would you think to share that?
I think he just wanted to maybe normalize it. And he figured what better way to do that than in class? Like, I don't even know why it came up. It wasn't like this was a class where we needed to know this. But I remember, I could still picture him telling us this and looking at my buddy Chris and be like, what is going on right now?
Thanks, teacher.
But I don't think any of us went back to our parents and never told him. I don't think I ever told my parents. It was just like a passing mention that he just shared with us. And that was the first time I even knew what a nudist was.
I am certain that our rockaholics have some good teacher stories. So when you were in school, who is the one teacher that will forever live in infamy? Give us a call now, 206-803-ROCK. Tell us the story of the teacher you will never, ever forget. We're going to take your calls after Nirvana.
The Daily Mix Show.
When you were in school, who was that one teacher that will forever live in infamy?
Infamy.
206-803-ROCK. Joe from Shelton, tell us about the teacher you will never forget.
Oh, I had my English 4 teacher, Miss Rice. She was sleeping with my buddy Tony. And I had heard about her back in middle school. Oh. And then... Yeah. And then so we get to school, and then, you know, rumors start flying around that he's messing around with her. So I ask him, I'm like, Tony, how in the heck did you get this? You know, how did you pull this off? Because she was attractive. She was like total 40-year-old Coug Nation, you know. yeah. Short skirts, V-neck shirts, the whole nine. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, we'd be in class, and she'd be bending over in front of my desk and winking at me while we were taking tests and stuff. Oh, and I was like, oh my gosh, I was so naive. She was doing that crap to me too.
Dude, Joe, it's so funny you mentioned that, because there were it's a dumb story. I'm on board with this whole thing, but like there was a teacher, I was like doing a teacher's aid thing, not from my school, but she was a teacher, and like gave me her phone number. Like the whole time, I never even put two and two together that she was being flirty. And I would be just like you. I'm like, you have to knock me over the head with like, no, I want to have sex with you for me to believe that, especially in my high school days.
Yeah, my buddy, the way he hit it off was he put his pager number in the middle of one of our term papers we turned in.
Beep me sometime, teach.
Yeah, and then he wasn't a very good student, so as it was going on, he was scared to break it off with her because he was worried about his grades, and she was getting kind of clingy. Blowing up his pager on the weekends. It was nuts. It was nuts.
So then how did it all end?
She moved. So she had a son that ended up being a freshman. Well, rumors started flying. Next thing you know, next year they moved out of state.
That poor kid. Like that's the rumor he has to deal with about his mom, right?
206-803-ROCK. Tell us about the teacher you will never forget. Hold Lucas.
On. My pager's going off.
Lucas and Everett, who is your teacher that will live in infamy forever?
That would be my 8th grade science teacher back in Port Townsend, Washington, good old town.
We're all here because we're not all there.
Exactly. So I'm already in high school, and one day we were told that the road by the police department was shut down because they were cleaning out the 8th grade science teacher's office, and they found a pipe bomb in his back closet.
Wow.
They had no clue how it got there, but the janitor found it, and they had to call the bomb squad in. They had to shut the road down by the police department to blow it up. And from that point on, you never heard or saw from that teacher again.
So what made them think that was there like a suspicion that he had a bomb in the classroom, or like what led to that point?
Not at all. They were just cleaning out his classroom. She retired, you know. He was at the school for 20, 30-plus years, and they found it. They blew it up. It successfully blew up, so...
Wow. Like,
the man was good at that.
I'm glad he retired before right? he made that awful decision. Jeez.
Dan in Spanaway, tell us about the teacher you'll never forget.
Well, we're jumping on the bandwagon of crazy 8th grade science teacher. Mr. Barry at Libby Junior High in Spokane, and I was in his class on the day of the space shuttle exploding.
Okay.
And he promised the class that tomorrow he'd show us what happened. Well, tomorrow came, and two students were brought up front holding yardsticks, one with a hydrogen-filled balloon at the end, and the other with a lit candle.
No.
Oh, my God.
No, we didn't.
And this is one of those three-story old brick junior highs, and the windows blew out of that class.
I don't know.
Learned what happens with hydrogen and flame.
I don't know if I'm more disturbed or impressed that he saw that as a learning opportunity. And he's like, you know what? We just witnessed a spaceship explode. Let me show you how it works.
Yeah. Let me show you something, right?
Do you remember how I'd imagine he got in trouble for that. And do you remember what kind of trouble?
It got immediate attention. The principal was up three flights of stairs quick. But then it was like nothing happened the next day.
Was he back in class?
What's that?
Was he back in class?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
80s were a wild time, man. It was a wild time.
Shout out science teachers, man.
I remember being in class when that explosion happened. I was very young. But I remember being in class, and it was the most awkward thing because the teacher was like, I don't know what to do. Ooh. Like, this wasn't what we were expecting. This was supposed to be like kind of like a, hey, look at the beauty of, you know, space and NASA and all that kind of stuff. And then when that happened, it got very quiet.
Well, yeah.
The teacher didn't look at all of us and say, hey, tomorrow I'm going to show you how this all happened.
I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to show you.
Imagine being the principal. I'd be like, what were you thinking?
Oh, my God. Rockaholics, we need somebody to call up now to play the game Beat Migs. He is currently 341 wins, 110 losses, and 58 ties in 2024. 206-803-ROCK. We will play Beat Migs at 650.
The Daily Migs Show.